Randy, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Let's get right to it. Are you raising some money? Because you need campaign funds.
I'm raising money, and I'm talking to people who are going to help me do it. But you're absolutely right. Everyone I talk to says, just like in real estate, where it's location that's most important, campaigning requires a ton of dollars, unfortunately, but that's the truth.
Your campaign has been, I don't know if I want to characterize it as low key, but we just haven't heard, much about what you're doing. Tell us about your campaign strategy right now.
It's basically, building connections with people, raising money, making lots of phone calls on that score, and traveling the state. We've been north. We were in Muskegon last night. We'll be in Oakland County tonight and Midland tomorrow. Back to Willow Run Tea Party on Friday night. So we got a big state, Tony. A lot of people to connect with, and a lot of people don't know us. So we've got to make those connections.
In these trying times, it's got to be a stressful job for politicians. Why do you want to be the next senator for Michigan?
Well, I don't have to be that person, but I'd like somebody like me, at least, that's a senator from Michigan that is going to go to Washington and deal with this huge issue that is facing us and gunning us down and getting closer every day, which is our budget problems. It's our huge debt, $14.3 trillion debt, that is growing by $4 billion every day. And there just doesn't seem to be the political will in Washington, really in many respects on either side of the aisle, to deal with it as quickly and aggressively as it needs to be dealt with to avoid economic catastrophe for our nation.
I've talked with many political experts since we first had you on the program after you announced that you were running, and they've told me Debbie Stabenow's probably unbeatable, not only because of the war chest that she has for campaign funding, but because she's well entrenched in that job. How are you going to beat her?
Well, I'm going to get more votes than her, and the way we're going to do that is to convince people that she has not provided the leadership that we need at this stage in our history of our nation, the crisis we're facing. She has consistently voted to add more and more debt to our country. She's voted twice for the Obamacare health care bill that is hugely unpopular and has added again to our deficits. And she's just not been the leader that we need. We need to replace her. She doesn't own that position. That position is held by the voters of the state of Michigan. And I believe at the end of the day, when they see their options, they're going to choose someone else.
All right. Should you win, should you beat Debbie Stabenow, what are you going to do, especially in your first term, to help the state?
Well, again, I am campaigning, Tony, as we've talked previously, on what the subjects I just mentioned, that we have to reduce the debt, and I've got a plan on how to do that. And it deals with basically replacing the welfare system that we have that comes from government, where 25% of our entire GDP flows through Washington, comes to us. And increasingly with entitlements and other things that are coming our way, we just can't afford it. We need to replace it and go back to the way that we used to meet human need, which was human-to-human contact through nonprofits, through churches, through extended family that can use tough love where needed and encouragement and challenging people who are underemployed or not employed for reasons of their own fault. And to encourage them to be all that they can be. We've got to quit getting away from being this dependent nation and become independent people again and grow. That's the strength of a nation is not what comes from government, Tony. Strength of a nation is the character of its people. And we've become lazy as a group of people in this country to a great degree. And we can do better, and we need to challenge each other to do that.
Would you have loaned money to Detroit's Big Three to help bail them out of their financial troubles?
Well, that's a tough one, to be very blunt with you. I mean, I'm happy that we're moving again, but I think in principle, that government should not pick favorites, winners or losers, that the market should prevail. There may be extenuating circumstances, and it's a tough call, but in general. That's my sense, is that we can't give extra benefits to, for example, wind power and different forms of ethanol and that sort of thing, that again, they only work because of the government money that's infused into them. Let the market determine what happens.
So you would have voted no?
I can't say that I would absolutely have voted no. That would be my inclination, but
Randy, you're a pretty smart guy, and you're not going to hedge any subjects. You could just say, Tony, yay or nay.
Well, again, I was a judge, as you know it, for Tony for 15 years, and I made tons of decisions, many of which were unpopular with the people in front of me. And when I just found, I know how to do this, I know how to make decisions, and when I'm hesitant to make a decision, it means I don't have all the facts that I need in front of me. And that's how I'm feeling right now, is that I'm not in that seat. I believe that God gives the grace to the person who is making the call. If you're a parent, God's call is God's enablement, is kind of my sign or my statement. And I'm not in that position. And so I'm hedging my bets at this point because I'm not there, and I don't believe I have all the information that I'd have to make that final call. So I'm sorry to do it that way, but it would be shooting from the hip too much for me to just throw out an answer to a question like that.
Does Detroit need a new bridge to Windsor, Canada?
Yeah, you asked me that last time. Mm-hmm. And again, if in fact what I said then, and I would agree with this, if it takes our federal money to make that bridge happen, I'd say let's not do it. We have this sense that money from the federal government is free, quote-unquote. For example, the high-speed rail thing. I don't want that. We do not need that. That's $200 million. I mean, the argument is that, it's already been appropriated, so it's kind of like free. It's not free money. There's no such thing as free money. All it's going to do is cut down the travel time between Detroit and Chicago by 30 minutes at $200 million. That's $6 2/3 million per minute that it cuts down. It's ridiculous. We cannot keep spending money that we really don't have. And but if the money all comes from Canada, hey, do what you want to do.
What about the jobs that high-speed rail or that bridge building would create?
Yeah. There's this notion that, government just throws money into the economy, it makes jobs happen. We have what happens is when you throw government money in the economy, usually it's government jobs that grow, not private jobs. We need to have taxes cut. I like what Snyder's doing along those lines for Michigan. And that's what creates jobs. Jobs come from entrepreneurs that take risks with their money, and we've got to encourage them to do that. It does not come from government.
Randy, what would you do about border security? We have somewhat of an issue on the northern borders. The borders with Mexico are a big challenge, too. What could you do as senator?
Well, again, we have laws on the books. Laws need to be enforced. And if we have border security issues, we need more troops to secure those borders or fences or whatever it takes, we need to enforce those laws. We got to deal with the 11 million illegals that are in this country. We've got to do something about that. Again, great cause to try to move all those out, and that's not my suggestion. But to those that have been law violators, they need to be moved out. And the others need to pay a fine and get in line to try to get citizenship.
Are you pro-choice or pro-life?
I am strongly pro-life. I've even written a book on the subject.
Talk about it.
I wrote a book. I had a case back in 1982 when I was a juvenile court judge. And a young lady sought an abortion. She was 5 months pregnant by her boyfriend. And I heard the evidence, and actually all the evidence pointed to the fact that she should not have the abortion. And I made that ruling, but I went on and said, here I am, a juvenile court judge charged with protecting children from abuse and neglect, and you're asking me to order the execution of an innocent unborn child. I said, I'm not that schizophrenic. I wouldn't do it unless it was to save the life of this woman or this young lady. And that made news. There's even an editorial in the New York Times about me. I mean, it made some news at that time. And it's kind of funny that after that hearing, the girl said, well, what's the big deal? She had an ultrasound and saw her little boy in her womb sucking his thumb. She says, well, why didn't you people tell me I had a baby in there? She ended up writing me a letter thanking me for giving her time to change her mind. But I ended up writing a book about that case, but then about judicial review, the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade and how they really misconstrued,
well,
in my opinion.
Randy, I got to get to a news break. We're going to talk about, the next time we talk, we're going to talk about your book and about your faith and how that will help you govern. Thanks so much.
Okay, Tony, we'll see you, man.